District 34, right? And we also have Idaho Falls Mayor Rebecca Casper with us. Am I missing any other elected officials that I should know but don't? Okay. All right. Thank you, Neely, for that presentation. I think at this point in time, we'll move into the formal hearing portion of this meeting. We have a list. Did everyone have an opportunity to sign in for this hearing tonight? And did everyone that wanted to testify check the box? Okay. It looks like, yes.
If we have questions, do we need to check the testimony box? Or is there going to be a question and answer period? I guess it's the...
As part of the hearing, there's not going to be a formal question and answer period. Like I indicated earlier, Roger and I don't want to try and sway the jury. We want to get all the comments we can from individuals and be able to bring that all together and collectively let the Water Resource Planning Committee process those and report back to the full board what the outcome of these hearings were. So, you know, if you'd like to testify, and you bet. I will check your box for you. And that gives us four people who want to testify.
Mr. Rebold?
Yes.
Could you add my name and put undecided, please?
Whether you're going to testify or not?
Correct.
And when the meeting's done, we'll stop the public hearing and we will stay and answer any questions you want at that time.
Harvey Walker's a maybe, okay? Okay. All right. I think with that, Neely, are we recording?
We're recording.
We're on the record?
I just want to stand at the podium.
You want me?
Oh, them.
Yes. Okay. When I call your name, if you'd please come up and stand at the podium and give us your name and your address, and so that we can record that as well as what we have here on the sign-in sheet, so that we make sure that we're able to have all the information about each of those who has testimony to give tonight. My name is Jeff Rabold, and I will serve as the hearing officer today on behalf of the Idaho Water Resource Board. This is the evening of August 30th, 2016, and we are in the City Council chambers of the City of Idaho Falls. And the purpose of this hearing is to take testimony and receive exhibits in connection with the proposed addition of a sustainability policy to the Idaho Water Resource Plan. Notice of this hearing was made through a statewide and local news release prior to this hearing. Notice was also made through electronic postings on the board's webpage. Where we have a limited number of people to testify, the hearing officer is going to try and be as flexible as he can on allotting the amount of time that each of you would like to take. If I believe that you're infringing on the rest of the audience's time, I may gavel you. We have five potential people who would like to testify, and we will go through each of those now. The first person to testify, Robert Murdoch.
My name is Robert Murdoch. I'm from Blackfoot, Idaho. I am a farmer, a groundwater pumper in the Blackfoot area. I've been there. I'm actually the fifth generation. As far as my comments go on the sustainability section of the state water plan, my comments, I was hoping we'd be able to have a little more question and answer, but I will simply make comments then. But I guess I'm very interested in part of the bullets on your implementation strategy where you are stating that you will protect our private property rights in both our land and water rights with any sustainability or water policy coming from the board in the future. As a landowner, our property rights are much diminished without our water rights. And so as we're learning more and more, the water rights are very critical for our sustainability as farmers. And so I guess I'm very interested in that you continue to do that. I guess I want to also ask questions, but I can't ask questions, but I'll make comments about the enhancing of the water transfer mechanisms in Idaho law and the policies and regulations to allow future economic opportunities to utilize existing water supplies. We've got a lot of problems with the situations where we have with, like, Committee of Nine rental pool rules, the availability of allocated water, and I guess I feel like eventually we're going to have to come up with a policy that helps us get recharge successfully done. We haven't had a lot of successful recharge programs that help stabilize the aquifer. And as we're moving forward, this is becoming more and more critical. I'm very concerned that some of the attitudes in the department is getting to where they feel like reductions or curtailments are more practical than doing recharge programs. And this is alarming to myself and to other individuals. If we're going to go into this scenario, it's not going to be economic growth for Eastern Idaho. In fact, Eastern Idaho will start to shrivel if we don't get recharge going on. Because if we're just going to try to stabilize the aquifer through reductions or curtailments, then here we are. We're going to start shutting down the economic growth in Eastern Idaho. And I guess this is the part that I feel like is pretty important, and I don't know what the resource board position is, as the director is talking about a groundwater management area, but I'm not in favor of a groundwater management area because I believe that this is going to move us into more of a dangerous area. I don't believe we're approaching a critical groundwater management area, which is where the rules in the code says that he can't form a groundwater management area unless he believes we're approaching a critical groundwater management area. And if we're going to go to a critical groundwater management area, then that means that they have to show that our withdrawals are exceeding our supplies. And I don't believe they can do that with the current data that we have right now. So I will once again re-support in the water policy that there's a zero flow past Milner. We need to examine that, watch that closely. We need to do all we can to store, recharge water upper in the upper basin, whether it be in reservoirs or whether we do aquifer recharge. And I have a letter I'll submit also at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murdoch. Okay, next we have George Redden.
I'm George Redden, local in Idaho Falls, loosely associated with Montana State and the University of Copenhagen in Denmark, which is mostly to say that I'm not really representing any particular interest group here, or I'm not affiliated with any interest group. I did read the proposed sustainability amendment, however, and I'll turn my question into testimony. In the second paragraph, basically when I read it, what I can do is find what I want to find in it. If I, for instance, am interested in ecosystem sustainability, habitat, wildlife, I can find that, particularly in the second paragraph. It starts with the state of Idaho, encompasses some of the most diverse and awe-inspiring physical and geologic features in the country. If I'm interested in economic development, I can find that in the third paragraph, particularly sustainable water management strategies to meet current and future needs must be based on adequate knowledge and economic and social demands. What I'm not seeing is a reconciliation between those two yet. And as I say, I'm not affiliated with any group, so I'm coming fully armed with a lack of knowledge on my own part. But what I have heard in various other settings is that the thing that determines the outcome of water management is beneficial use, which does not include fish, does not include wildlife. It includes only economic use. And I'll offer that either as a rumor or things that I hear. And so what I'm concerned with the sustainability amendment is built-in contradictions that aren't very clear to me. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Redden. Next, we'll hear from Representative Ron Nate.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I didn't plan on speaking here, but when I came and read through it, I just had a few red flags pop up, but I just wanted to get those down on record, so if there's any bigger concerns there, we can talk about them later. I'm Representative Ron Nate from District 34. I represent all of Madison County and the north part of Bonneville County. And in looking through the document here, some of the bullets, I was pleased to see that many of the bullets identify the need and desire to protect private property rights. Land rights and water rights are very important to Idaho, as Mr. Murdoch said before me. In fact, I identified five or six parts there where we're identifying these rights and they want to be protected. However, I did see a bit of a contradiction in, I believe it's the seventh bullet point, the enhanced water transfer mechanisms in Idaho law. We're recognizing we want to protect existing uses. That's what it says at the end of the sentence. Three bullet points down, the recognized bullet point, recognize that conservation measures may reduce water supplies used by others in other parts of the resource. That was a little confusing for me, how we are going to reduce water supplies for others in other parts of the resource while at the same time respecting and protecting property and water rights. I think those two bullet points, at least at minimum, are contradictory. Further reading that bullet point, recognize that conservation measures may reduce water supplies. It sounds illogical to me. Maybe I don't understand the bullet point well enough, but conservation measures should increase water supplies, not decrease water supplies. Unless we're talking about conservation measures that we're asking people to do where they are, or forcing people to do where they're reducing their access to water. It doesn't reduce the supply, but it reduces their access to it. I would think that conservation measures, whenever we implement them, increase the supplies of water to those that are not doing the conserving, if that makes sense. So either that bullet needs some work to make it more clear, or maybe I'm right in that it is contradictory. My third point here is that when we get to the bottom bullet point on the middle page there, the use of grassroots approach to identify problems. The term grassroots approach made me a little nervous. We usually think of that in a political context where we're trying to build support or build opposition to something. It sounds like we're trying to force a policy by getting the grassroots involved and fired up. But I think the intent of that language there was to say that, you know, we want the decision making to come from the bottom up rather than the top down, and I respect that, and that's what I like. And so maybe a different term besides grassroots approach would be better there. Beyond that, the part that made me more nervous about that bullet point is the integrated and collaborative approach to water resource management. And we're talking about the sentence before that should be managed while recognizing the potential for decisions in one basin to affect the resources in another basin. Now, part of this whole water plan and adding this section gives guidance to future policy. And so when we start talking about one basin affecting another one, I want to avoid the potential for that language being used to justify interbasin transfers of water. that's something that I would be opposed to, that the water in one basin should stay in that basin. When we start talking about interbasin transfers, we get into a whole nother area of water difficulties and questions about our water rights versus another state or another region or another basin. And so I want to avoid any opportunities for that to slip in there. The final bullet point in the first section, it's at the top of the third page. This goal requires other state and local agencies to exercise their appropriate authorities. I get nervous when we put in there language that will call on agencies to exercise their authorities to protect water resources and to assist in meeting the goal of sustainable economic growth. It sounds like a justification for using force to get to happen what we want to have happen. I had a reservation with the language choice there as well. And finally, the last part is I am an economist by trade. I teach economics at BYU Idaho. And the third from the bottom bullet point says balance water supply and water demand. Well, in economics, the best way to balance supply and demand is to leave it alone and let the market work its magic through a pricing mechanism. Pricing mechanisms, if they're allowed to freely and flexibly adjust, will assure that we'll achieve what we call an economics equilibrium, where supply and demand are equal. If they're unequal, you either have a shortage or a surplus, and automatic pressure on the price to change. So if that leads us to a mechanism there where maybe some pricing or some trading of water rights will lead to a way to balance supply and demand, great. But I get nervous when we have government trying to balance supply and demand, because almost invariably they cannot gather enough and assimilate enough information to get it right every time. We'll either have small shortages, small surpluses, or worse. I appreciate the efforts in putting this plan together, and I my overall concern when we do a big plan like this, I was looking at the bullet points of the other parts of the plan, the other things that were there, and this seemed to be the only one that was broad. The other ones were very specific, except for the conservation one earlier, but this one was very broad. Overall, I would use caution when introducing a lot of broad language, because my experience in the legislature is that once the sustainability part is addended onto this, then it becomes a policy tool and a policy mechanism to try and get all the things to address a bullet. If this bill addresses this bullet, well, then we have to do it because it's part of the sustainability plan. So that's why I'd rather have brief ones, very short ones, very specific ones, rather than broad ones that potentially shoehorn in a lot of policy. And again, I thank you for your time. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Representative Nate. Next, Roger Warner.
Good evening. I'm Roger Warner. I'm a hydrologist with Rocky Mountain Environmental. This evening, I represent the Eastern Idaho Water Rights Coalition, which represents a variety of water interests in Eastern Idaho, including municipalities and water districts and farmers. There's a lot of good comments have been given this evening concerning the sustainability policy, and I think generally, in regards to the coalition, I think we would support broadly the policy as it's been explained here. There are a couple of concerns I think need to be highlighted, and I think they're noble ideas and goals that are expressed here, but I noticed in the milestones two bullet items regarding the water bank, and right now I see a water bank that's pretty broken. Currently the department is balancing the budget on the water bank. You couldn't get an action through the water bank during the summer months if you tried. They pull the money in the summer and put the money and the resources back in the fall. And so we got to stop that. That's got to be fixed and soon. But we're gonna have a lot more problems than what we've had this year. I think that there's some noble ideas on municipal supplies. I think balancing is one thing. I don't There has been a little bit of language on enhancing the supply. I think there was a good field trip that the Henry's Fork people put together this year that took us to a cloud seeding program that has met some pretty noble goals in our area, and perhaps that's something, an area that could be addressed in enhancing the supply for the state. Also, you know, I know that there's a lot of different hats that fall on additional storage. But as we, if all the naysayers' wishes come true and we do have less of a supply in the future, we really need to look at storage in that context and say, does it make sense? And where would it make sense? And perhaps that might be a part of that as well. That's all I would have for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Okay, the final individual who indicated they may want to testify was Harvey Walker. Mr. Walker?
Unfortunately for you guys, I will.
And the legislator said
that. My name is Harvey Walker. I'm from Basin 34, Butte County. I'm a board director of Big Lost River Irrigation District. We've had declining aquifer over there for many years. In 1986, the pumping level was 46,000 acre feet. Last year, the water pumped out was 120,000 acre feet. We have 140 people who have had to deepen or dig new wells in the lower end of the basin. So we have a declining aquifer that needs to be taken care of. The milestones and the implications you have here all need to be looked at in Basin 34. That's why we ask for the study. And the study needs to happen in Basin 34, however we have to do that. I'm also on the board of directors of Grand Teton Canal Company in Basin 22. And we have some things up there that we could really take a look at that may help fish augmentation if we could everybody get on the same street. And we'd like to maybe get help do that also. But everything that you have here needs to be taken a good hard look in Basin 34. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Okay, with that is all the individuals. What?
She does.
Oh, Representative Trio, you want?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, need to acknowledge that Representative Janet Trujillo is in attendance as well as the other elected representatives. We also have Mr. Mike Webster representing the governor's office with us here tonight, too.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I have to say that I represent District 33, which encompasses Idaho Falls. And where we encompass a city, there are a few things that do concern me. I broadly support the sustainability, and I think that it is very important that we have that. I do worry in the one bullet point that also Representative Nate had a concern with, and that is that the goal requires other state and local agencies to exercise their appropriate authorities. My concern is this: at what point do we worry about those appropriate authorities not interacting well with one another? And whose authority is it then to, you know, provide the conflict resolution in those at that time? And I think that's something that within our plan we really need to consider and think about. And as far as the other points that have been brought out, property rights are very important. And I appreciate the efforts that have been put into including those property rights. Also understanding that Idaho does have different water basins. And at this point, those water basins have been treated under one water plan, when in reality, they possibly could be treated in different water plans. That creates its own set of difficulties. And I I applaud the efforts statewide that have been made to bring together and collaborate on a good proposal, a strong proposal for our state, and I think that we're headed in the right direction. I appreciate the comments that have been made today, and I hope that you will also take those into consideration. With that being said, my main concern is with that one bullet point and talking about the appropriate authority. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Chairman Chase and I are fairly lenient. Is there anyone else who is here that, based on the comments that they've heard from others giving oral testimony tonight, would like to add anything to this hearing before we close this hearing? Okay, going, gone. Okay, all right. I just want to remind everyone that the record's going to remain open until September 30th, 2016. And so if you go home tonight or in the coming days and think of something additional that you would like to add to your comments or give specific written comments, you can submit those in written form through any of the means up there on the screen. All this information is going to be loaded onto the website. As Neely indicated, the other hearings, the testimony and everything is there for you to go back and review and look at. We want to be as inclusive as we can as a water board. We've worked for a couple of years, maybe a little longer than that even, on formulating this draft. And we've taken it out and we've shopped it around. This is the sixth stop. There'll be one more stop in Pocatello, or Chubbuck, I guess, to be specific, on September the 14th. That meeting will be at 6:30 p.m. also. And we appreciate each of you taking the time to be here tonight and attend this and provide us with your thoughts and ideas on how we can make a better policy to add to the state water plan. And with that, this hearing is now concluded, and the meeting is over.